You have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Lamentations. Book of Lamentations. If you find Jeremiah, it's right after the book of Jeremiah, so it's be a little bit easier for you. Find Jeremiah to go to the next book, short book there, Lamentations, chapter 4. We'll read one verse, actually two verses, verses 1 and 2. A few months ago, Brian Davis had preached out of Lamentations, and he was reading another chapter, and my eyes fell over after service. I was reading that back, and my eyes fell over to this verse, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and been studying on it there, and the Lord said, this is what we need for this morning, and so we ask that you pray for us today. Pray for our pastor. He is preaching this morning. Actually has two homecoming services today. The first one is this morning. He's preaching down on Pine Street right behind CVS there where Jack Howard pastors. He'll be preaching there probably here just about right now or a little bit after here in just a little bit. And then he'll be going down to the City Mission in Ironton to preach their homecoming service this afternoon. So be much in prayer for him. And then, Lord willing, he'll be back this evening to clean up my mess, okay? And he does a good job at that. I make a lot of messes. Lamentations 4, verses 1 and 2. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? I want to take for a text or a title even the very first part of verse 1. How is the gold become dim? Boy, times have changed, haven't they? For some reason, my son has been engrossed in getting out our old high school yearbooks. And so Heather has them all in one certain spot. And we have the kids' yearbooks there, and kind of them all have them there in order. So he found mine the other day, class of 1993, Memphis High School. And so I forget, a few years ago, they had us bring him at youth camp, and we marked all the pages where our pictures were at so the kids could see just how much we've changed. And so they're still marked, and so he goes through them. And me and him were going through that book together a few days ago, and every time he turned the page and said, is that you? And we just start laughing. I said, yeah, that's me. And he noticed the clothes. He noticed the hair. And that's not even as bad as the 80s were. But I've seen some of your pictures. I've seen some of your hair. But obviously, things have changed. Fashion's changed. They had the favorite things at that point in time in 93. The music changed, and definitely people had changed, and I definitely changed. In high school, I was 180 pounds, 6'1". I'm definitely not that right now. I'm still 6'1", but not 180. Maybe a half, I'm not sure, 6'1 and a half. But it's safe to say, and back at that time, there was a popular song out, that one of the lines in that song says, the only thing that remains the same is everything changes. And that's true, isn't it? Really, the only thing that remains the same is things change. Jeremiah writes here in the account of the book of Lamentations about a country and about a people that had changed. Sadly, this was not God's intention. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, and I'll quote him here. He said, the city that was formerly as gold, as the most fine gold, so rich and splendid, the perfection of beauty and the joy of the whole earth had become dim and had changed. It had lost its luster, lost its value. It was not what it was. It had become dross. And then you'll read, and it's a very sad, of course, the whole book is lamenting, but the rest of that chapter tells you about the destruction and the wrath of God to come upon a people that had changed. And you'll read here that the enemy of God had encamped around the walls of the city. And really what they did, they had a very good strategically placed plan, because in order for the children of Israel to plant and to harvest, they had to go without outside of their city walls. They felt safe and secure inside the city, but in order for them to get their food and to get their harvest, they had to go outside the city walls. So what the enemy did is they just encamped around the walls of the city, so that way whenever they would come out, they would be attacked. So the children of Israel, instead of going out and attacking, they stayed within the walls, but it didn't take time, didn't take too long. They began to get hungry. And the enemy ate their seed. So that's what the enemy wants. He wants our seed. Because he knows if we don't have the seed, then we won't have a harvest. That's why he's attacking our children. That's why he's attacking our young people. It's because he knows. Right now, we're doing well. But if he can get to the seed in a few years, we'll be starved to death. And that's what's happening in our country and in our churches all across this country, is the fact that they've let the enemy come in, steal their seed, and now, how many of you notice when you go into churches and they'll say, well, I wish we had more young people. You know why? It's because they allowed the enemy to come in and take the seed away. And so now they're starving to death. They're starving skin and bones. And that's the way these people were. They were protected inside the walls. But it was only a matter of time before famine set in and countless people would die. It goes on to say, sad verses, little children starve for bread and water. And listen to this, the wealthy and persons of high rank were reduced to poverty. They thought they had everything, but in a matter of seconds, it was all gone. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? But why did all this happen? The verse says, how has the gold become dim? And how has the most fine gold changed? Notice, if you'll notice, this was not a mistake by King James translators. This is exactly the way it was supposed to be. It's an exclamation point. It's not a question. Jeremiah was not sitting back and saying, well, how did this happen? He was exclaiming and telling, I know exactly why it's happened. Because they allowed things to change. Now, I read and I've always heard that pure gold does not tarnish. And it doesn't. Pure gold does not tarnish. But it tells us here, Jeremiah said, that the gold has become dim. How's the gold changed? How's the most fine gold changed? And it goes on to liken us, the sons of Zion. That's the church. It says they were supposed to be jewels of fine gold and precious gold, but they have reduced themselves to earthen pitchers. What God has intended for us, we live so far below our means and our privileges. God has intended for us to be vessels of pure gold. But we've changed. And so I got to looking up something on how does gold tarnish? How does gold become dim? And I found some interesting things. First of all, gold becomes tarnished when touched by the flesh. See, the gold that you wear, the gold that we see, is not pure gold. Because most of your jewelry will tarnish. Because it's mixed, and I'll get to that in a second, but it's mixed with non-pure gold and pure gold. But gold will tarnish when it's touched by the flesh. One article I found stated, human sweat and oil from human beings touch can make gold tarnish. Anytime the flesh gets in the way, it'll tarnish the gold. He goes on to say in verse 6 of Lamentations 4, for the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. He is saying because they've changed, their punishment is going to be greater than the punishment of Sodom. And if you've read your Bible, you know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Of the filthiness, the fleshly desires that got in the way, and God destroyed their city. But it's obvious that the children of Israel had let their flesh override the will of God, and they lost their luster, they lost their shine, and they couldn't do what they once did before because they changed. They changed. See, pride got in the way. Verse 12 of chapter 4 says they believed their walls were impregnable. They believed that their wall, no one could penetrate their walls. They got pride in the way. And folks, anytime pride and fleshly desires get in the way and they override the will of God, it will lead to our demise. We will die if we let the flesh override the will of God. I've been in church all my life. You all know that. I'll say it once. I've said it hundreds of times. My first year of life, I was in 370 services. I didn't know much what was going on, but as I said before, I had a bad drug problem. I was drugged from church to church and place to place. But I've been in church all my life, and I can testify there's been a change. You're going to stick with me, right? Okay. I'm not speaking of the change that takes place when God saves us from a life of sin. That's a wonderful change. Robert, aren't you glad God changed you? Ryan, aren't you glad God... Aren't you thankful that you that were out in sin, aren't you thankful for the change that happened when God came in your life? Calvin Ray mentions an old gentleman in Union Free Will Baptist that always said, if there's no change, there's no Jesus. And I still believe that. I believe that if you're saved, you'll walk right, you'll talk right, you'll act right, you'll change the way you're going. You don't make a 360, you make a 180, and you flee and repent from what you used to do. I'm not talking about that kind of change. But I'm speaking of churches and Christians who were once on fire for God, but have let the flesh and pride override the will of God, and now they've changed, they've reduced themselves to earthen vessels and not what God intended. You still with me? Churches that I believe that once lit a darkened world, now they've painted their sanctuaries black to attract the world. Churches that were a lighthouse in their communities, now they've dropped anchor in the pleasures of the world. Churches that were once a place where you could come and you could worship God and pray. A few years ago, we had a church in our own community that did these things, and they took out all the altars, they took out the pews, and they put up disco balls and billiard tables and all these things. They changed the church, and they changed the way that... And you'll notice, folks, whenever you do those things, and you put flesh in front of God, it'll lead to the demise of that church. But they've changed. They've changed. Christians that once respected the house of God with appropriate dress and appropriate attire, now you treat God's house like your own living room. Things have changed. I'm only 35, but I've seen it. People don't dress the way they used to dress. Amen or oh me. But I remember a time, and this is going way back, I know it. But I remember when I was a kid, I remember my mom telling me that whenever women would go and visit the hospital, they had to wear a dress. Not saying that was right or wrong, but that's just the way you had to do it. I'm just telling you, there's been a change. People used to have respect for funeral homes. And people definitely had respect for the church. But you don't see that. They don't respect it. But I guarantee one thing, and I know I've got the backing of the board, and board, I know you're with me, and I know most of you are behind me right now. And I've got the backing of the board that's in our pews. We will not change. Rubyville is not changing. We have certain standards that we've abode by for many, many years, and that's why I'm here, because I agree 110% with every standard, every bylaw that's written down in this church. And if you don't like it, tough. Tough. You either abide by the standards or you'll just sit there in your pew. But we are not changing, so don't ask. And don't get mad when we have to come and tell you you're doing wrong. Things have changed. Things have changed. People, Christians that once stood against immoral behavior and outright sin, they've changed their beliefs because the sin involves their own family. They've changed. How's the gold become? I'll tell you how the gold has become tarnished. It's because you let your flesh in the way, and you let your flesh and your desires and your pride override the will of God. And you once stood for right. You once shined with the brightness of the Holy Ghost. And now you've lost your luster. You've lost your shine. You don't have your shout. You don't have the testimony. Why? Because what? Because the flesh has overrun the will of God. I ain't going to get a lot of shouts, but that's all right. I'm right on target this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anytime the flesh is involved in spiritual decisions, there are consequences to be made. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Anytime you let pride stand in the way, if you let pride, if you think it's all about me, it's all, look at what I've done, look at what I've done. Listen, you're setting yourself up for a big fall. Amen. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I don't trust me. I don't trust you. I don't trust anybody. And the only one I trust is God. It is better to put your trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. That's the middle verse of your Bible. That's what it said. And it's so true. I don't trust me. Because I still battle the flesh. And I make mistakes. But thank God, we can have victory over the flesh, can't we? The number one enemy we face is our flesh. We fight it on a daily basis. And we must learn, like Romans 12:1 tells us, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But if you choose to follow your flesh, it will kill you. No greater example can be found than if we go all the way back to Exodus 17. You still with me? Exodus 17, verse 8 says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Amalek, the country of Amalek, the city of Amalek, is considered by most scholars to be a type or a symbol of the flesh. Now, the children of Israel were given a commandment by God to destroy Amalek. In fact, in 1 Samuel 15, Saul was sent to do that job. He was sent to destroy the Amalekites. But what he did is he disobeyed God. That's when you'll find that very famous passage of Scripture, obedience is better than sacrifice. But you'll find that Saul spared King Agag. In fact, they went and got back all this. They were supposed to destroy everything. Destroy it all. But he kept the king just to be prideful. Because what they would do, they'd lead him around like a little dog and they'd stand on him. So look what I've done. As a matter of pride. But instead of destroying him, they collected all the spoils. And then you'll find, because he chose to be disobedient and reject God, and because of rebellion, the thing that he was supposed to kill came back and killed him. Because in 2 Samuel chapter 1, you'll read where Saul had died, and there was a young man there. In fact, he was an Amalekite, the Bible says. And Saul was there falling on his sword and he wasn't dead yet. And the Bible says that the Amalekite came to David and said, I slew Saul. What a valuable lesson to us, folks. If you don't kill what God says to kill, it'll come back and kill you. Let it die. We can live victorious, though. God wants us to shine as pure gold. God don't want us to have the tarnish of the flesh upon the gold. No. And Romans 8:1 gives us that promise. You say, Brian, how can I get rid? How can I live a victorious life over my flesh? The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you follow the Spirit, if you listen to the Spirit, anytime you want to go and follow the flesh, the Spirit will speak to you and says, don't do that. Don't do that. And if you sit back and try to justify it and say, well, they do it. It doesn't matter if they do it. If God says, don't do it, don't do it. Amen. So first, gold can tarnish if you touch it. Secondly, gold can become dim when it's tangled or mixed with worldly materials. Gold can tarnish if it's exposed to metals, perfumes, even deodorant, food products with high acidity or sulfur compounds. See, that's why, most gold that we wear, it's mixed with other materials. It's not pure gold. And all you women know this, the higher the carat, the more pure the gold and the more valuable it is. So 24 carat gold ring, 24 carat gold necklace, is more valuable than a 10-carat gold ring or necklace. But even the higher rating does not exempt it from getting tarnished. Found out something interesting. When fool's gold and real gold are mixed together, this is what it said, the fool's gold is not changed, but it tarnishes the real gold. How many of you have heard this? Well, I'll go out with him. I'll date him because I think I can change him. Yep. Uh-huh. Well, yeah. I know they're not out in church right now, but if I date them, if I marry them, I'll bring them over to my side. There are exceptions. That does happen. People do get saved, and thank God for that. But a vast majority of the time, you end up going to the fool's gold. Because see, when the world and the real are mixed, most of the time, the world will bring down the real and it will tarnish what God has meant to be precious. I see a trend in our modern churches even to try and mix or tangle the new with the old. Now, let me preface this by saying there are some churches that worship their tradition more than Jesus. But I also see leaders and churches that have tried everything coming and going just to attract a crowd. Well, if this type of music don't work, then we'll try this type of music. Well, if this don't work, then we'll try. They try everything coming and going to try to attract a crowd. Now, what that does, they attract a crowd, but it's a curious crowd. And curious crowd is not a committed crowd. And what that does is when they get the crowd, then the preacher gets puffed up and says, well, it's because of my decision I made to do this or that. That's why our churches are growing. But in essence, all they're doing is getting a puffed up spirit and a curious crowd that's not committed to the church. The Bible does not condemn, listen to me, the Bible does not condemn or promote contemporary or traditional services. You realize that? But what it does tell us, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to be real. He wants our worship to be real. He don't want our worship to be made up or try to work up anything. No, that's all emotion. And some emotion is good. We know when God comes upon us, we are emotional. But listen tonight, He wants us to be real. You realize real gold has properties that are unlike fool's gold. Here's how you can tell the difference. Real gold is malleable. It bends. So when real gold is hammered into a flat sheet, it won't break. But fool's gold or minerals that mimic gold, when you hammer them, they will break into a fine powder. You know what that tells me? People that are real and have the real thing, whenever they're hammered and faced with persecution, they won't break. They won't break. That's why you got Rick back there this morning. Cancer's beating down on you, hadn't it, Rick? But you're here today. You're not breaking. You're not bowing under the pressure. God has said, I'm going to take him through. I've already brought him through already all these miracles. And I'm telling you, if you haven't talked to Rick, you need to talk to him. Because he's positive. Everything that I hear come out of his mouth, it's positive. He says, the Lord's going to take care of me. I know that he is. Why? Because he's got the real thing. And how many of you have seen folks that are facing sickness? Sweet Marsh over here, I'm telling you what. I'm sorry you can't talk right now, but it's going to come back. But she's got the real thing, doesn't she? Because it's amazing to me. Of all the things she's went through, we can sing, did I mention that I love him? And she's on her feet saying, yes, I've been hammered and I've been persecuted. But thank God, because I got the real thing, I won't break. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:9 gives us that promise. We're persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Thank God. Another ancient method to tell whether gold is real or not is they would use what was called the touchstone test. They would take the gold or the mineral that looked like gold and they would mark a piece of black slate. And if it was real gold, if it was fool's gold rather, it would leave a dark mark in its path. But if it was real gold, whenever they would mark that dark colored stone, it would leave traces of gold behind. So I'm going to ask you, when you come in contact with others, what are you leaving behind? When they see you, do they see Jesus? Or do they see someone that's tangled up in the pleasures of this world? Well, it's getting quiet, isn't it? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason to the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Matthew 5:16 also states, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In order to shine for Jesus, we have to glorify Him and not glorify ourselves. I know I talk about our church a lot because I love our church. In fact, that's why you've made me the assistant pastor. I love coming here, and I talk about our church everywhere I go. It's not the fact that I talk about Rubyville as we're the best around, even though I think we are because I'm here, but it's the fact that God has done unique and wonderful things. Why? Because we've got something real here. I love it. We don't have a clue what's going to happen when we come to church from one day to the next. I feel so sorry for these churches that have a form and tradition. They follow a little bulletin right down the path. They know what songs they're going to sing. They know what the preacher's going to preach. He's got it planned out for a whole year. I've seen pastors that got sermon series planned out for an entire year. There's nothing wrong with preaching a sermon series, but I'll tell you know what I would do? I would pick the sermon that I would like to hear, and I would come that service. But aren't you thankful? You had no idea that I was going to preach this morning, did you? No. Ain't that great? Most of it, if you knew, you probably wouldn't have come, would you? But you don't know what's going to happen. Why? Because we got something real. Well, we just sit back and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? We don't want to work up anything. We don't want to fake anything. No, we want to be real. And we're getting talked about, by the way. Bad and good. But you know when they talk about us badly? Say we're just a bunch of fanatics. I say guilty. Yeah. So all those money grabbers out there putting their children into debt, all those $4 million, they're going to put their grandchildren are going to pay for that $4 million debt. Hey, let me just silence all the crowd. I know this has been me. Let me silence all the credit. We spent almost $4 million here, but you know, we don't owe nobody a dime. Not one penny. And isn't it going to be great to go to a real sanctuary with no burdens and no cares? We're going to be able to walk in and look at it and say, paid in full. Hallelujah. We're going to be able to worship, and we're going to be able to continue with growing the church. No, not because to say Rubyville's greater than anybody else. No, it's because we got a real Savior and we serve a real God. Hallelujah. And He'll do real things. Oh, I got to move on. Finally, not only can tangling tarnish gold and touch can tarnish gold, but time can tarnish gold. If gold is left unattended, then there will be a time when the gold will become dim. If you do not properly take care of your gold, it will become tarnished. One writer said, gold coins rarely tarnish because of their purity. But there are some exceptional toned coins that exist. And this toning makes them even more valuable. Now, that's interesting. I find it interesting that gold can become more valuable even though it's toned, but it's not tarnished. You say, Brian, what does that mean? Well, the difference is the toning is a part of the gold. But the tarnishing is a part of the world. And the jeweler says, it's okay to go ahead and clean the tarnish, but don't ever clean the tone off of the old gold because it makes it more valuable. Now, I don't know about you, but the old song says, He is to me more precious than gold. And the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And I know over time, the toning of age will come upon us. But aren't you thankful that the longer we serve the Lord, the sweeter it gets and the more valuable our relationship with Him gets? How many of you have been saved over 40 years? Raise your hand. Over 40 years? How many have been saved over 50 years? Over 60? Over 60 years? Over 70 years? bless her heart. Jerry asked her how long she's been saved. Years. 72 years. Got a fine piece of gold sitting back there. And the years will come and the years will go, but I guarantee if you ask her this morning, what does the Lord mean to you? She says, I love Him more now than I ever have. Why? Because even though time can have its toll on us, if we don't let the affairs of the world get on us and tarnish us, thank God we become more precious and more valuable in God's eyes. Before Dewey passed away, we were in there to visit him and just had a wonderful funeral service for him this week. We need to pray for Beulah. She's just taking it so hard, as many of you would. Over many years they were married. And God had blessed them with a great life and a great family. Just a precious family. But even though Dewey was struggling and he had that BiPAP machine that was forcing air into his lungs to try to get him to breathe. His lungs were gone. His heart was almost gone. You go in and visit him. And I told the folks there at the funeral service, I said, me and him had our own little thing. We'd do the fist pound. And so I'd come in and visit him, and Dewey'd hold up his fist like this. And I'd come over. And I'd lean down. And he'd say, good to see you. I always have a smile on his face, but you know, even though time had taken its toll on him, bouts of cancer, all these diseases that had crippled his body and made him walk like this, he still testified of how good God was to him. You know why? Because he had a promise and a hope. And you know what that hope was? It's found in Revelation 21:21. And the street of the city, listen now, was pure gold. As if it were transparent glass. What did I say at the very beginning of my sermon? Pure gold does not tarnish. And it says that the streets that we'll be walking on are pure gold. You know what that means? That means we can go back to the verse that says, lay not up treasures for yourself down here, but lay your treasures in heaven where moth does not corrupt nor thieves can break through or steal. Thank God we got a place reserved for us. If we know God this morning, we'll be walking streets of pure and precious gold. Thank God we're a place where sin and death will never enter. Hallelujah. What a promise we have in God's Word. Let's keep our hearts pure today. Let's don't let the fleshly desires override the will of God. Let's don't get tangled up in these newfangled methods that don't work. Let's stick with something that's real. Let's stick with Jesus this morning. And today, if you don't know God as your Savior, God does not want you to live beneath your privileges. You have a wonderful place that you can come. People that love you and have prayed for you and cared for you. Won't you come this morning and become a vessel unto honor?